second and third string stomped by the Steelers and having to listen to how we're going to suck for the season. And now the Steelers look like ass, but
yeah.
What is up, good people? You already know what time it is. Another episode of King's Landing. It's your boy, Jared King. Follow me on X at @_TheKing_. Follow my brother, KingHip57. That's Brian King on Twitter and Instagram. And we got a special guest today with us, Stephen Hera. You've probably seen him. If you've been on Twitter, if you are a true Falcons fan, you've seen a few of his threads. Follow him on Twitter at HeraATL. That is HeraHATL. And, you know, the good people at Barber's Chair Network. It was a hot day for Chicago Bears fans. You might have seen a couple viral tweets from them about Justin Fields. But go ahead and follow them at the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and IG at Barber's Chair Net. Subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. And visit the bcnet.com. Victory week. It's not Monday. It's Wednesday. But
yeah,
Falcons are 2-0. We got smiles on our faces. I'll take a 1-point win every day of the week. I think the best part was I think Vegas had the over under at 1.5, and so if you got that bet. But yeah, I'm happy, and you know it's another week.
Get the money.
Yeah, I had a nice little parlay hit. I took Ritter's over on passing over 200 yards. So I was like, made a kick 140 off that. So, you know, it, not only was it a good to win, but we hit that parlay like at the very end because I had the Falcons winning too. So it was like double. I was like, all right, not only did I make money, the Falcons won last second. We were sitting pretty.
I love it. Man, that was a
– Yes, sir.
That was a stressful one. At self-admittedly. So I had to leave after the first quarter, people. So I told y'all I was going to be at the game, but one of my very good friends got married, so I had a valid excuse. I didn't quit on the team. But after the first quarter, it was looking rough. The dome was rocking. First off, hats off. We caused a false start and a delay of game that took 3 points off the board and a 1-point victory. I think the fans deserve as much credit for this win as everybody else. So I'm not taking any slander, at least for a couple weeks. We're going to Detroit. We're going to London. So, you know, fans did their part in the first 2 weeks of the season. So hats off to them.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat that we were the only team we had two home games, and we're the only team with two home games to open the season that won both. And that's huge to win your home games before like a tough road trip, because Detroit ain't going to be easy. And like, the Jaguars looking ahead ain't going to be easy either. So getting that 2-0 victories to start the season, that's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Especially coming into the season and, you know, people saying we don't have fans.
Yeah. Like, okay, I mean,
now we got dome field advantage. So what do you say to that?
You mentioned the false starts, but I mean, there at the very end when Jordan Love kind of stumbled, like, you know, that's because the stadium was loud. Like, you can directly correlate winning the game pretty much with the fans making a ton of noise. And, you know, I don't buy the Falcons don't have good fans, man. Like, when you're winning, we show out and we make noise. Like, it's just,
Drunken love. I love it. Yeah, no, that's why it sounds like Jordan Love. I mean, but that's just young quarterback stuff. It's like Desmond Ritter does something stupid, it's everywhere. Jordan Love, that highlight maybe lasted maybe, what, a couple hours on Twitter?
Yeah.
I hate the Packers. I hate the Packers almost as bad as I hate the Saints. But, hey, I'm glad we made Jordan Love look bad. He put up three touchdowns, but he struggled to 150 yards. I mean, it's not like he had his way. Especially in the second half. First half, I think Nielsen was doing a bit much, trying to confuse him, you know, trying to throw some stuff at him to see, all right, you haven't started a lot. Let's see, what we can kind of get you caught up with, like he did with Bryce Young. But, you know, give my hat off to Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur schemed him up some easy stuff, which Art hasn't done for Ritter yet. I mean, you know, his first touchdown, the little tip pass to Jaden Reed, you know, give that. We don't have anybody that fast, so, I mean, I get his limitations. Yeah. But even the second one, he's wide open in the flats. Like, he had easy opportunities. And then once Nielsen kind of clamped down and manned up and said, hey, your weapons aren't better than my defenders. I think that's when, you know, you saw the talent difference.
Yeah. The Packers offensive coordinators, he's up there with some of the better, you know, offensive coordinators around the league. I do think Jordan Love, you know, we didn't really pressure him a ton in the first half, which is part of why he was able to kind of get these easy checkdowns for big games. If you're not getting D-line pressure. Now, mind you, he should have thrown an interception. There was a screen early on in the game that on Yamada. First of all, he did this twice, actually. He blew up two screen plays. He had one that, like, kind of hit his hand, dropped it, or tipped it up, whatever you want to say. Yeah. Should have been an interception. The other one, he was just right there on the running back, and to Jordan Love's credit, he didn't make the same mistake twice. He threw it at the running back's feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Onyemata had a really good game, actually. That's something that kind of stood out to me.
Definitely. I think he played better than Grady. Pound for pound.
Yeah. And he doesn't that sound nice Grady to say? How often have we been able to say someone played better than Grady Jarrett on this team that's not named AJ Terrell?
Rare.
Not, doesn't happen often. Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, no, that was. I got to give it to the linebackers because they played a good game, you know, coming in shorthanded without Troy, too. So, you know, gave us one of those shots. And blew up the pulling guard.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing you talking about Jared.
I think so.
I clipped it on my thread. Nate Landman came down from pretty much like the mic spot, came down, had a Steve. He blew up the tight end to the point the tight end got thrown back into the running back. So that was really nice. Nate Landman, you know, like, I thought he played really well in the preseason. Yeah, he played really well in the preseason. He took what he was doing in the preseason. He ran with this game. Like, he was very good this game, like the whole game. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about Nate Landman this week.
Yeah.
And he flashed last preseason, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been flashing. I saw, you know, we were talking about this earlier. Even last year when Michael Walker was starting, we were calling for Nate Landman to get real playing.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker. I mean, linebacker, they don't have to be fast. They don't.
You got
to
be violent. That's what he is. He's violent. He attacks
violence, and he's not hesitating to the hole. And, you know, having that as your third linebacker, I mean, we didn't miss a beat. Like, the Falcons still only gave up, you know, just over 200 yards. They didn't give up 100 yards rushing. I mean,
yeah,
they had a good day. So,
yeah,
I like it.
I thought the D-line did a whole lot. The defense as a whole did a lot better. I know Ebiketie got a little bit more snaps, and he made some good pressure with it too. So, happy he kind of – you know, I thought it was weird we didn't play him as much in the first game, to be honest with you, especially with how Bryce Young was back there most of the first half. But I thought he earned his snaps this week, and he played pretty well.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah. I like the D-line rotation. I mean, like you said, like to have Onyemata basically outplay Grady, it's like, all right, that's nice.
Crazy.
You know, Calais is still Calais. And, you know, it's like send them in waves. There were a couple plays where it's like you've got – you know, Harrison, Huggins, and Taquan Graham in there, and they're looking just like the first unit.
Yeah.
We couldn't sub out a whole starting D-line 12 months ago, 24 months ever.
Our starting D-line was the sub line, what do you mean? Right. You know, plus Grady.
Yeah. So I love it. I mean, I'm happy. I think it's starting to come together. I mean, you know, defense always starts faster than the offense. I think Art is kind of finding his sea legs. You know, we talked about it a little bit for a second, Steven, but I'll kind of let you monologue on the
passing attack here. So I want to be clear. I thought the passing attack this week was better than last week. Some of that had to do with, like, the O-line holding up just a little bit better. But some of those red zone plays were not for me. We ran, like, triple slant. We ran, like, kind of two, crossers through the back of the end zone. I know people on the live copy were kind of being like, Dez, what are you doing? Listen, I'm telling y'all, there was nothing he could have done. There was this one play where Pitts, like, kind of leaks across. It was a little bit of a mesh concept, right? People were saying he should have targeted Pitts, but that would have been a throw across his body, like, with a linebacker lurking. Like, if that is your design, then your design needs to be better. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with the concept. It was just well covered. The mesh one. The other two were really bad. But outside of that, you know, we're still having issues with the O-line, like, holding up, which I think kind of limits what we can do in the passing game. we are in a lot of mesh this week, a lot of crossers, and a lot of levels, which is basically three wide receivers going across the middle of the field all the way over, usually paired with like a rollout play action thing. So that was good. I like to see that. Wasn't open, but that's playing a good defense sometimes. It just doesn't work. These are good concepts. So the red zone plays are probably my only big gripes with Arthur this week. I thought he made some mistakes with his red zone play calling, but credit to him. His fourth down decision making, I loved it. Even the Dez, like, you know, the drop pick to Jair, I like going for it there. It's just, you know, it didn't work out. Dez predetermined to throw. Should have got pick six. Didn't. Guess what? If they could catch a football, they'd be on offense, right? So live with it. I thought Desmond showed a lot of good stuff, honestly. The dropped interceptions both were bad for different reasons. He didn't see Quay Walker on one, or he thought he moved him more with his eyes than he did, and then he just threw it. And the Drake London one, if you see the end zone copy of that one, you can literally see he's holding his eyes in the middle. When he reaches the back of his drop back, he's already winding up to throw, like, as his head is turning.
Yeah,
can't be doing that in the NFL. Trust your guy, but you can't just blindly throw. So
yeah,
if you get rid of those two throws, you know, he had some good dots to Jonnu. I thought him and Jonnu's connection was really good. So encouraging stuff. Need to start faster versus the Lions, because the Lions' offense is way better than both Carolina and the Packers. So, like, yeah, we can't afford to have this sloppy start. But, you know, I think if you look at the game as a whole and you don't get caught up on two dropped interceptions, I think Desmond showed you a lot of good.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think we match up well against the Lions too. You know, just looking at our defensive line versus their offensive line, our front seven versus their, you know, their trenches, essentially. You know, we got the young running back Gibbs coming to town. You know, of course, I'm speaking from the defensive standpoint. I'm interested to see how our rotation there, and you know, if Troy can, is Troy coming back this week?
He was full participant at practice today, so hopefully him and Akuda both were full participants at practice today.
Well, yeah, I know Akuda's itching to get at the Lions, so I think he might make a pick this week. Just simply, you know, you could put AJ on Amon-Ra and let Akuda.
Well, Amon-Ra's day to day right now. That's the other thing.
Finesse.
Look, hold up, before we get into the Lions, I just want to speak on the passing. I got. One thing I was thinking about is because week one, you know, weirdness. I feel like week one is basically just preseason, real preseason. And so it's like, you know, they played the Panthers, you know, Evero's running, you know, Fangio type of stuff. And so it's like, I think Art is one of the better game planners and schemers when he has film. But if he doesn't know what he's kind of going off of, I think he tends to be very safe. And I think that's kind of what happened week one, where he's like, all right, you know, this is a Fangio disciple. I don't want to put Dez in positions to really – because like you said, it's like it was a bunch of stop routes and curls and comebacks where it's like,
yeah,
I don't even want you anticipating. Just see it, throw it.
Yeah.
Versus this week, it's like, all right, you know, I know what the Packers run. I know their defense. Like, we've seen it before. And I think he was just kind of a little bit more comfortable. And I think going into this week, especially with Dez, it's like he let Dez rip it. Like,
yeah,
even towards the end of, you know, the game versus the Panthers, you know, the deep shot to Pitts. It's like, yeah, you bottled it up, but when you need it, you still went to it. And so, you know, having that trust in Ridder, especially in the fourth quarter, I mean, Falcons are now 27-0 in the fourth quarter point differential, which – if you would have told me that,
dreamt of times like these.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, you know, you can. If the defense is giving up 0 points in the fourth quarter, you can start slow. I'm not condoning it, right? Where it's like, all right, you know, if that's how we're going to win games and cool, it's like start faster and then you kind of cruise at the end versus, you know, fighting, you know, tooth and nail to get a 1 point lead and hold on to it. So we'll see. I mean, I liked what I saw from the passing attack more this week. You know, I agree with you. I was like, all right, you got Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. That front seven was not, you know, an ideal situation with the way the line played versus Carolina. You know, they played better, but you Art couldn't really bank on it until you saw him play better. So I think I like the direction we're heading into week three. So
I do want to mention one thing that I was kind of harping on Arthur for this in week one, that we did not use Dez's legs like at all. And to his credit, we used it, and they were pretty effective. And now some of that's on Dez too, because I think he, as far as pocket feel this week, he was just way better. Like he looked, he kind of reverted last week to what he looked like week one against the Saints, or not week one, but when he first played the Saints last year, where he looked really erratic and kind of scared in the pocket. This week he was back to his normal self, where I thought his pocket presence was actually really good. He made a lot of good moves, and then again, using him as an actual runner in the red zone, got to do that, man. Like he's he has the speed. It's just another thing the defense now has to account for, because you can run that same play, same motion. The defense is going to recognize it from film, and maybe you pull it. It's a little RPO read, and you throw the ball. Like you can build off that, or maybe he keeps it again. Like using his legs, it was just not doing it week one was so confusing to me, especially because like we're saying. Dez is a gamer. He wants to get hit. He wants to get in the flow of the game. You get him running. You get him moving. Good things are going to happen. So credit to Arthur. He did what I was telling him to fucking do. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're going to have a lot of fun drawing up some plays for Dez to run out out wide, especially with that. What was that? Like a jet motion reverse?
Yeah.
Like a reverse lead option?
Yeah. Like, I mean –
Yeah. It was good design.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah. And then you got Bergeron out there on the edge, and then Drake blocking the safety. You put Bergeron on a corner, you see, let him get along.
Let him eat.
Let him do what he do. And so and then you can run that pitch and then make him try to tackle Bijan and dislocate his kneecaps. And so, you put the pressure on those corners. They got CJ GJ out, so you know. I think we
It's CJ and I think James Houston are both out. Kind of two of their defenders who are missing.
And then Kirby Joseph. We'll kind of get into let's jump into the lines now. You got Taylor Decker was a DNP this week. Kirby Joseph is out. Dave Montgomery's out. Emmanuel Mosley's out. Amon Ra's out. And I'm just going to say Vitae. I've never figured out how to say my guy's name. But it's like, that's a lot of injuries on top of, James Houston's already out and CJ Gardner-Johnson's already out. And so now it's starting to pile up where before that, Lions pass rush was probably three levels deep.
Yeah.
Now it's, Hutchinson and Charles Harris doing the brunt of the work probably for 45 to 50 minutes of the game now versus maybe 30. So I think that's going to be one where they haven't really given up much on the ground. I think they give up 86 yards a game on the ground through two, but their secondary is kind of where they've been had. I think this is one of those games where I think they can let Dez kind of air it out a little bit to kind of get going. That's what I want to see. It's like, all right, you got Dez in a rhythm. It's a place where Yale's preseason, but he was feeling himself last preseason in Detroit. He got out of there with a win. It's like, all right, you had a good game, last week. You put up, 237 yards, around 60% completion. You got touchdown throwing, touchdown running.
Yeah.
I think it's one that, I like Anzalone. I like Jack Campbell. We were big Jack Campbell fans coming out. But you get Cordero back, and I think it's one where I want Arthur to kind of lean into him, Bijan, Algier, Pitts, and Janu type packages on the field where it's like, all right, we're gonna go jumbo and make either the small corners play, you put a jumbo package out there on your D line, and I kind of spread them out. So,
I think Patterson getting back. I was going to say, I think Patterson getting back is kind of underrated because as far as wide receivers go, I think he's a bit more of a vertical threat than we have currently. Pitts is a little bit of a vertical threat. Drake, he's fast enough, but he's not beating you with speed. He's going to beat you how he did to ice the game last week with Dez. He's going to get into your body. He's going to win physically, and he's going to, create separation by getting into you versus, Patterson. He's also big and physical, but I think he just has a bit more, go. You think back to 2021 with Matt, the fade route. I just mentioned it because I hate the Saints. The fade route to Patterson versus the Saints down the sideline. That speed we don't really have at right receiver right now outside of Scotty. And he has his limitations in the size department and being able to block. So I think getting Patterson back will be pretty big this week.
Yeah.
This would be a fun Mac Hollins game, too.
Yeah.
I guess we're getting dirty with them boys.
Oh, man.
Going back to that jumbo set, I think we can use that, utilize that to isolate Hutchinson, make him sit and read and take that,
yep.
You know, that rush off, you know, off his feet and off his hands and make him, you know, sit flat. And I think he's going to be catching it. I think we're going to scheme him up and take him. Is the young linebacker, is he on Hutchinson's side or does he float?
You talking about Barnes? Derek Barnes?
No, from Jack. Iowa. Jack?
Jack. I think
they Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Does he move around or is he just –
Well, Hutchinson moves around probably more than Jack's going to move around. I mean, they put Hutchinson kind of inside a couple times. They put him at three tech a couple times. So it's going to be fine. But, like, yeah, I think the Lions are weak up the middle. Like, their D tackles aren't good. Right. You got Jack, who I think Jack is good. I think Anzalone is good, but Jack is inexperienced. And then with no Kirby Joseph, like I'm not really concerned about their secondary in a grand scheme of things. But when you got safeties who are going to have to help in the run game, you know, do as much as you can to pull them up. And like you said, you get Aiden Hutchinson kind of standing flat footed. Now you can kind of throw off of it. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what's going to be most important versus the Lions is really because I'm with you. I think their interior D line leaves a little bit to be desired in terms of stopping the run. Like, I think their linebackers have to pick up a lot of the slack there because I don't think their defensive tackles are particularly great versus the run. So if we can manage to kind of keep it the third downs manageable, you know, third and four, third and five, because Arthur he likes to do his formations with, you know, two tight ends, one tight end. So there's always kind of that threat of the run, and he will run it on third and four, which then, yeah. You know, you do that once or twice, the next third and four comes up, you can hit a play-action shot.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, he's not afraid to run it on third and four. He says, we're better than you. We got Bijan. And if we can keep it down to manageable thirds down, that's really limits Hutchinson. And then I think if the tackles keep kind of ramping up a little bit, because week one they were both pretty bad. I thought this past week they were okay. And then if they can get, you know, to good or average and better, will be pretty good. Outside of Hutchinson, nobody on the D-line really scares me for the Lions. But Hutchinson is good enough that he can wreck it by himself, so you can't discount him.
Yeah. But luckily, he's not Brian Burns.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's no Derek Brown out there with Hutchinson. I mean,
yeah.
I think that 1-2 punch was just the worst combo for us to get kind of out of the gate. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, I would send a lot of run action at Hutchinson as early as possible. Just
send Algier. Like,
yeah. send Algier over there, put, you know, Jonnu over there, just kind of, you know, beat him up as much as you can early on and just kind of take his sea legs from him. Cause, you know, beyond that, you know, some boot actions away from him, I think you know, it's just, I feel like it's a manageable defense for you to kind of get Dez rolling, let him get some confidence going if you want to throw it. So,
yeah, that's the hope, obviously, that we can actually scheme up some good stuff. I think I actually liked how we started the drive. Obviously, it didn't end in points, but quick little screen pass to Drake, you know, get him going. I think there was another screen to Jonnu. That drive. So quick passes, just get some completions, get him kind of feeling good. Obviously, it didn't work out in the end zone, but everything up until then I thought was really good schematically. And like, if we can have a drive like that ends in a touchdown, you know, especially if we start with the ball or something, you know, because you don't want to go three and out in Detroit with that stadium, you know, ready to go. Like, if you can get a touchdown early, kind of get the crowd in control,
yeah.
You know, that's going to be really key, is just starting efficiently. Personally, I don't care if we, you know, only pass like two or three times on the first drive. Like, if we just want to run Algier and Bijan and that's working, then I don't care. Like, just whatever you need to do to get seven, just do it. Yep. And from there, if you want to open up the passing game, then go. But first drive, we have to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if I see another pass from the one, I'm going to say
that. Yeah, not. That was not good.
As a running team, what are we doing? Why are we afraid of the Packers?
Yeah,
we made the linebackers tackle. Between Quay Walker and Devondre, it was 17 and 14 tackles.
Made them work.
Yeah. So if we put that kind of pressure on Detroit's linebackers, it's going to be a day.
I'm with you. And, like, I think – and the only reason why I give Art credit is because after failing on the one at the goal line, he went for it on fourth down several times. And so I think he was like, all right, I can't – let me just stop playing around. Like, let's go get this win real quick. So,
yeah. I liked his decision making again. You can't pass two times on the 1 yard line and then not go for it on fourth. Like, you have to, because it just makes no sense. You have them pinned at their 1 yard line. Like, you have to go for it there. Right. Sucks. We had like the procedure penalty. You know, is what it is. But
it's frustrating. He definitely had the stadium checked out. I mean, that was the part where I was like, all right, now the Packers have all the momentum. Like, the crowd was pissed because it was just We were already – it was 7-0. Like, it was just a matter of it happening. And then when it didn't happen, you know, people got up from their seats. Like, we were talking earlier where it's like the crowd is great until you give them a reason to not watch the game. And you know.
But, hopefully at this point, you know, the same old Falcons kind of idea is a little bit out the window since we're actually doing good stuff in the fourth quarter. The defense is a little bit better. But, like, I don't blame any fan there for being like, oh God, we're doing this shit again. Like, exactly. I'm checking out. Like, that's how I felt a little bit at times during the Carolina game too. When I was there, I was like, come on guys. Like, I don't get to go to a lot of Falcons games, so I was still loud as hell. But like in my head, I was like, man, like, you know, give me something good. And eventually they did. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, but you know, we can go get on to our favorite side of the ball, the defense.
Yeah.
I'll start with Jared Goff, actually. I'm going to give Jared Goff a flower or two before I kind of lean into him. Jared Goff's having a good season. I think when he got traded, everybody was like, oh, Jared Goff's in Detroit for a couple years, and then he'll be gone. And Jared Goff is having a resurgence. I mean, it's a bigger resurgence than Geno's having, in my opinion. It's just, you know, Geno went from backup to quality quarterback. But I think Jared Goff is putting up – top five quarterback type stats. He's got 576 yards, 71% completion. I think his adjusted completion is about 84-85%. So he's throwing an accurate pass. He's got four touchdowns. He's thrown his first interception in over 380 attempts.
It's a crazy stat.
You're not going to get the ball from him. I think that was, what, fifth longest streak in history? Yeah. So it's like, you know, he's running a – right around 1% turnover worthy throw rate. He does everything right. Like, he's the quintessential, like, he's like Jimmy G plus, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, Jimmy G was safe and he would take shots every now and then. Jared Goff will put up, he beat Mahomes, you know, they put 100 points. You know, that, you know, I'll never forget that game. He beat Mahomes twice. So it's like, he's a quarterback where it's like, he'll do whatever it takes to win. If he's got to hand the ball off, it's not like he's – I don't think he's got that option, you know, this game. You know, I think he's going to have to work, you know, a good bit. I'm excited to see him against our secondary.
Yeah.
I hate Amon-Ra is likely going to be out. I just – that would have been fun. I mean, I want to see him versus AJ, you know, him versus Okuda. If Okuda plays, like, it's just – I like him. I like him as a receiver. But if he plays, I'm hoping he plays. He's just he's a tough cover. Ben Johnson's gonna spam him. I mean, you know, even off of a hurt toe, he might get 10 targets. And I just personally would like to see him, you know, play just so Arthur Smith can see what a passing attack looks like for a wide receiver one. I mean, get your guy the ball anyway, anyhow. So, but other than that, I mean, you know, you got Laporta who's got 10 targets through 2 weeks as a rookie tight end. We can't even get into that type of stuff.
Laporta's looking pretty good. I was watching a little bit of the Lions, and like, I think I was kind of high on him as a draft prospect, but I think he's shown like really good hands. Like, he knows how to use his body to kind of create separation. He's a big guy where, you know, Kyle Pitts is maybe a little bit, he's big, but he's a little bit more limber. Laporta's like your stereotypical, like, all right, he's kind of a big boy playing tight end out there.
Yeah.
Still really fast, but, you know, for his size. But I think Laporta is kind of an underrated matchup. I'm happy we're getting Troy back.
Yep.
Nate did all right in coverage, I thought. Nate's best plays were all, I think, in run defense, but he did fine in coverage. But I think Troy matches up athletically, like, very well with some of these tight ends. So I'm excited to see that matchup. Personally, I hope Amon-Ra doesn't play because I want to win. I'm with you. I think it'd be a really good test. That it would be kind of fun to watch, but I want to win. So I hope it doesn't play.
Yeah.
Is Montgomery out?
He's trending that way. I mean, he said himself he's probably out a couple weeks, which takes away. I mean, puts Jahmyr Gibbs. You have no real
pass pro
rushing threat.
Pass pro is bad.
So yeah. Yeah, so if Jahmyr Gibbs is their main back, then we should be sending Ellis or we should be sending Anderson like every single play to blow him up because he's not going to hold up at the point of attack as like a pass protect back. Like he's just not going to do it. He doesn't have the size, he doesn't have the build, he doesn't have the strength. You know,
Goff is a pocket passer, so
yeah,
that's a recipe for picks right there.
I was thinking about leading up to this game, the fact that Goff is such a pocket passer because Jordan Love and Bryce Young, you know, I think they do some of their better work outside the pocket in terms of like their mobility. Goff is very much your stereotypical, like I'm in the pocket, I'm going to try to dice you up from here, which he's a lot better than Jordan Love and Bryce Young. Like he will rip you apart from the pocket, but you don't have to be as worried about like trying to contain him. Like he's not going to get outside. He's not going to create these, you know, crazy plays like Jordan Love scramble, you know, 34 yards or something. It was pretty good scramble. So that gives our pass rushers kind of an opportunity to kind of just pin their ears back on these third and longs versus if it's third and long against, you know, Bryce Young or Jordan Love, like a part of you probably wants to, you know, pressure them, but don't let them get outside the pocket where, you know, if it's Goff, you're just going full speed to try to get a sack, which, you know, it opens some things up for our personnel packages. Cause then you just put out your best pass rushers and you're like, go get them, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm interested in this matchup between Jesse Bates and LaPorta.
Yeah, I think
you think Bates can one-on-one LaPorta?
I'm going to say yes, because I just think in terms of technique, you know, Jesse Bates is like a proven all-pro guy, and LaPorta, you know, I think he's looking good as like a rookie tight end, but it's just the fact that he's a rookie, so like some of those stuff, he's going to get undercut, like, you know, a lot of rookies, when they come into the league, their routes aren't super sharp, you know, they like to kind of drift up field, and they create that like underneath lane for corners and DB types to get underneath, so I don't think LaPorta is really bad at that, but I mean, this is the NFL and he's a rookie, so like he's going to have lapses mentally about stuff like that. So I think Jesse Bates will be fine versus him. I don't think he will draw the assignment as much as maybe like our linebackers will, because I think our linebackers match up fine. Like I don't, until they get beat by LaPorta consistently, I don't think Arthur's going to be thinking we got to put a safety on this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would probably park Jesse just deep middle, a lot of cover one.
Goff will rip middle field. You have to close off the middle field versus Goff. He will rip it. He will rip seam shots. He will rip those deep end breakers. Like he will target the middle of the field, and he's very accurate doing that.
So it's like I'd park Jesse there just to make Goff at least think twice and kind of sugar the A's and kind of, especially if Amon-Ra's not playing, you know, the rest of their wide receiver core gets a little shaky pretty quick.
Yeah. With Amon-Ra not playing, I think we should, you know, test them early and send a lot of these, like, you know, double A gap linebacker blitzes. Just spam them and trust your man coverage. Because, again, if St. Brown is playing, don't do that because he is good enough to really punish you for that. But, you know, you look at the receivers now, you know, it's a good receiving core, but none of those guys should be scary enough that you're worried about sending these heavy pressure looks.
Yeah.
Well, we got Khalif Raymond, Josh Reynolds.
Blitz.
Those sounds like accountant names, you know?
Right? Yeah. Come on.
That's what I appreciate about Nielsen, though. It's like he's not – we've always had coordinators who just kind of give the other team's weapons respect, where it's like, all right, you know, these guys are in the NFL for a reason. It's like, no, I've got an A.J. Terrell who can at least erase one of those guys. Now I've got a Jesse Bates who, all right, you throw it up, he's lurking out there.
Yeah.
And especially if you got – you know, like you said, Goff is a pocket passer. So the first thing, if he sees pressure, he's like, either LaPorta's got a chip – or Gibbs is in blocking. Yeah. But either way, you know, you'll probably get burned on a screen. You know, I expect something early, like how the Packers did with the flea flicker. As soon as they did the flea flicker, I said, all right.
I was like, come on, man.
They know they don't have much to go from
here.
And so it's like, I expect, you know, some early screens to try and slow down any potential pressures. But second half, you're going to run out of answers. You know, you've got Taylor Decker's out, Vitae is out. So now you got two backups in the game. Test that. So I think, like, it's just it's refreshing to have a D coordinator who is just not, like, so passive. I love Dean Pease. Dean just didn't have the talent. I don't blame him for playing soft. I'm not taking shots at Dean. But, you know, even before then, it's like every time we'd play, you know, even like week one, the Panthers game, I said they should not score any points. Like, I even told, you know, Aaron Freeman, I said, this is a 99% win and we're going to win by double digits. Like, they have nobody. And now 2 weeks in, you see the Panthers struggle to score points. Like,
stress fan.
So, I mean, I just want to see them kind of get after Detroit, especially on the road. Like, I think it's one where it's like, we're going to have to lean on the defense early to keep their crowd quiet. And just with no Amon-Ra, the weapons get shaky. You got two rookies, too. I mean, it's their second game at home. You know, this is their first time seeing this defense. So it's not like, you know, you've got much to go off of for them on in terms of film. So I think just the rookie inexperience for their two core playmakers, you know, make that a factor.
Yeah. That's where you want to attack them with play action, which, again, I know people will quote stats where it's like play action, it doesn't matter if the run's effective or not. It still works. That said, in my head, I can't imagine that as a player, if you're getting gashed on the ground, that, like, play action isn't more effective. Like, I know statistically it says not, because linebackers have to read the same keys every play, and if they're playing disciplined. But if you have young players who aren't as disciplined, they're going to be like, man, Bijan just broke my fucking ankles twice on the same play. I got to get downhill fast. Yeah. And that's where you hit a little play action shot. Because, you know, we called some vertical shots versus the Packers. Not many. I'm not going to pretend we called a lot, but we did call a couple. They just were covered very well. And that's because the Packers defense, I think, in the secondary is pretty good. And we didn't have the pass protection up front to deal with that. Jared, I was looking at the stats. Geno Smith last week versus the Lions had about 3 seconds to throw. In the NFL, that is a long time. And Geno can create a little bit, but he's not creating every play. Because, you know, sometimes these stats get weird where people are like, oh, you know, Lamar Jackson has forever to throw. It's like, well, Lamar Jackson has forever to throw because he's getting outside the pocket and creating space, and, like, his time to throw is because he's scrambling. Geno just had time back there. And, like, he, you know, that's why they put up a bunch of points on him. So if we can get that sort of time from Dez, like, I would not be surprised if we did call some deep shots. Hopefully. I'm begging. We got a little bit better. You know, 3rd and 15, you know, a little deep dig route, right? Yeah. Hey, it's something. It's something.
He ripped it. It's like you hit your back foot and throw it. I mean, 3rd and 15 is either incomplete, interception is the same thing, like throw it. Like,
that was a, we need you to get us this first down, and he did. And, like, that's, I think, you did not see that in week one.
No.
If Arthur can keep kind of trusting Dez, and I think Dez showed him, you know, week one, I think towards the end, he showed him some stuff with that deep shot to Pitts. He's like, all right, if you want to hit that deep shot to Pitts, all right, you got a little bit of my trust here. Let's keep dialing up these shots and, like, you know, let's see what you can do.
And that's wrong.
Right? Yeah. That's why I know we exchanged a little bit on the near interception to Quay Walker, but it's like, I'd rather him throw that. Like, I'd rather him, he read it, he saw his key, and he threw it versus, you know, we've seen Justin Fields in it. Like, you know, you got a wide open touchdown and he's turning down touchdowns. I don't know how to coach you to throw the ball. Like, so
that was probably the craziest narrative to me during training camp. I don't know who started this, but as someone I probably watched more Dez games than his mom. Like, I loved him in college. I watched his, like, junior, senior. I even went back to, like, his sophomore year a little bit just to see how he was like. Obviously, I've watched all his NFL games. People were acting like Dez is not an aggressive quarterback, which, like, if you've watched him, he is. He just isn't, like, stupid aggressive where he's throwing into double coverage all the time. He will occasionally, like, that throw to Pitts last week, by his read, he probably, like, shouldn't have thrown it. That was my guy's better than your guy. I'm throwing open grass, go get him. And Pitts, obviously, was better than their guy, and he fucking made a great adjustment to a good throw. So I don't know who started with the training camp questions. Like, oh man, is Dez just going to check it down every play? Dez is not going to check it down every play. Both those throws is Jonnu. The first down that Jonnu had over the middle, you know, that the linebacker kind of undercut, Dez had the crosser underneath him right below. There was this little crosser coming across. If he throws that, it's probably not a first down.
Yeah.
Dez took the more aggressive read. Was like, I can make this throw. I'm going to play against leverage of the linebacker. I trust my arm.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know who started the whole Dez is not an aggressive quarterback thing, but they were either reading way too much into training camp, like deep throws or something, which training camp, I mean, we're talking about practice. So, I don't know. That was just, you just reminded me talking about the aggressions thing. I'm like, I don't know why people thought Dez was going to be checked down Charlie over here.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you got to cut it both ways. It's like, you know, that throw, he beat Quay that time. And it's like, yeah, it was a dime. He's gonna rip it. But, you know, part of it too, I think, is Art is mild PTSD from Mariota. So I think he's kind of like, I think he's going this way versus with Mariota.
Yeah.
Mariota, he came out the gate throwing 33 passes, 26 passes with Mariota. And then we got to the Niners game and he threw it 13 times. Yeah.
if you look at some of those early throws, there were so many missed deep shots from Mariota, man. And like some of them were ugly. Like again, last week we were talking about Dez sees Pitts, he throws to open grass, Pitts makes a good catch. It would be like a fade route and there'd be like no safety. It was like zero or whatever. So no safeties at all. And he would just not throw towards the middle of the field at all. And he would throw towards like the sideline where the corner is. And very, very bad quarterback play last year. Glad we're already looking better. Because, I mean, Mariota wasn't great at all. He was bad. But, like, he was still upper backup caliber when you factor in his legs. Like, his legs did win us some games. Like, I'm not trying to completely shit on the guy. Like, if he played well for us at times, he did. He made some good plays with his legs. But I think you're seeing with Dez, you're kind of getting, you know, from the Matt Ryan year where we passed, you know, a lot. And we didn't run it very well versus the Mariota year, which was kind of the opposite spectrum. You're kind of in the middle a little bit, which I think is where, you know, Arthur wants to be. So I'll be really curious going into week three. You know, I did my route concepts like cut up. I know you've probably saw that, Jarrett. We looked at that and like you can see it open up week two. So is it going to open up more? Are we going to see more deep shots? Are we going to, you know, punish the Lions a little bit if they send pressure? You know, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it's definitely an interesting matchup because young quarterback, start him slow week one, ramp him up, stack weeks, and see where we're at. You know, by game eight, I think you can probably have a pretty clear picture on if you think Dez can be the guy or not. You know,
yeah,
I think he can be. I've been really high on him since college, but you have to show me something. Week one, he didn't show me a ton. I don't think he played bad, but week two, he showed me something. So if he can show me a little bit more every week, then hey, man, like if we can get our starting quarterback on a third round draft pick salary, then, you know,
that gives me a first, like, 2 seconds, like, or a third to get at it, right?
It'd be great.
Absolutely.
Especially looking at some of those quarterback situations around the league too, like Watson dodged a total bullet there. I never wanted him for multiple reasons. Even ignoring the off-the-field stuff, I was like, this guy hasn't played football in 2 years, and you want to make him like the highest-paid quarterback in the league, assuming he's just going to go right back to top 10. Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to play in the NFL? You can't,
without Hopkins.
Yeah, like, you can't just come back and be a top-10 quarterback. That's not how the league works. Like, defenses change every year. Like, this isn't, you know, basketball where I think a guy can take a couple years off then come back. Because, like, hey, like, defenses don't really change. The NFL, 5 years ago, completely different to how it is now defensively. So
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you saw how quick Matt Ryan got washed out of the league.
Yeah, like, my boy.
It was like, okay, Matt, whoa, league change. You got to go. So
yeah.
But yeah, so, all right, brother, X Factors, what you feeling? I'll let you kind of kick off. Who's your X Factor matchup for the game?
I mentioned it earlier, Bates and LaPorta. I think they're gonna have a fun one because, you know, you got to read that middle of the field like we said earlier, and that's definitely what Goff is going to be doing. And with that big tight end, they got to replace Hockenson, and they're going to be leaning on LaPorta in this passing game. So I can see LaPorta. Unfortunately, I can see him scoring against us.
Yeah.
But outside of that, if we blitz and stay aggressive, I think that will be the difference maker. But if we sit back and let Jared Goff just dink and dunk us all day, like, nobody wants to watch that. Come on. Let's play some football. And let's see. On offensive side, we sticking with Bijan. It's the
Bijan, man. It's always Bijan.
The Bijan experience.
It's Bijan, man.
Yeah. Give it to him. Give it to him some more.
Give it to Bijan.
I'm better than you. In your that house.
I can't. I still can't believe to this day that Bijan is a Falcon. But
yeah. I'm on record of not having loved the pick night of, as I was one of those running back. I thought Bijan was going to be amazing, but I was one of those like running back value guys. Like Jalen Carter was right there, who helped us win. I'm out of that. I was wrong. I don't know ball. Bijan is fucking him, man. Like Bijan, every single, because I thought he would come in and be really good. Even like great, he makes some explosive plays, but like every single run, week one, every single run feels like it's about to go to the house. Like yeah. Every single run, like I'm just like, oh my god, what is this guy gonna do next? I mean, I don't like Vilma the announcer, but every time Bijan made a cut, you hear him like oh my god.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Nuts.
I mean, the way he moves, like we compared him to Sonic the Hedgehog the other day. It's like
yeah,
cameraman can't even keep up with him. Like it's
yeah.
He's moving at different speed. Like he terrifies the entire defense when the ball is in his hands. It's like, oh shit. So, man.
And then you sprinkle in a little quarter or a little joker.
I can't wait to hear that. Yeah.
I just hope you don't reveal too much because I feel like we can just open this offense up. Like give it a couple of months and see how it goes. If we stay healthy, man. This offense is unstoppable.
That's
we've been saying that for months.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Is like we're healthy. Like I, every week we keep getting out there. Right? But yeah, man, no. All right, I'm not gonna jump on Bijan. I'm gonna go Kyle Pitts versus Brian Branch.
That actually is a fun matchup.
Yeah, I'm not sure how confident Kyle Pitts is in his knee. He doesn't seem the same yet. Like it seems like he's kind of there, kind of not some plays. I mean he's blocking his ass off.
Yeah.
But I think this is the game where you use now that all this attention is on Bijan, I think admittedly teams are still leaning towards trying to take Kyle Pitts away. But now it's like 2 weeks of Bijan. Bijan almost gave you 172 total yards. You have to pay attention to Bijan now.
That's
crazy. And so
it's worth
from there. Yeah, from there, it's like I think Brian Branch is going to get the Kyle Pitts assignment because you put Bijan and Algier on the field like Art has been doing. That has to go to Anzalone and Jack Campbell. And so now you got Kyle Pitts. I want to see him kind of
take over,
work that one a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's mine on offense. And then defense, I'm going Onyemata and Grady versus the interior.
Ooh.
I think
that's a good one.
If you can, yeah, because it's not Jahmyr Gibbs is not going to run inside. They're going to have to, what is it, Craig Reynolds? They're going to have to run it inside a little bit just to for the sake of honesty. I mean, if you do. Basically remove the inside run game from your game plan against us, you're not helping Goff out. And so, you already know Onyemata's been dominating. Grady's can dominate. Calais can dominate inside. If they force one-on-ones on the outside or you force Laporta to block or you force Gibbs to block, now your blitz package opens up or you can drop, seven on three routes. So,
yeah. I guess I'll hit it up. I'll go defense first. So I think our linebackers versus basically their running backs, like in pass pro and a little bit of receiving. Because again, Jahmyr Gibbs, as much, we were trying to talk about him in terms of pass pro not being good. As a receiver, he is very fast, very slippery. Like that might be another assignment. I know I was saying Troy might be on Laporta a lot. Again, Troy probably has the speed to maybe kind of keep up with Gibbs. I don't know if he has the recognition abilities for some of this stuff, we'll have to see. That'll be something to monitor. So I think our linebackers versus their running backs, basically in terms of blitzing and kind of receiving options. Because Detroit's game plan might be, okay, we don't have St. Brown. Laporta's probably going to be drawing, you know, some safety stuff if we're trying to go deep down the field. Let's just check it down to Gibbs, do some option routes and stuff, and see if we can, you know, get runaways. So I think that's a good defensive match to kind of keep an eye on. Caden Ellis sack last week. I think that was kind of on the Packers' left tackle, just not blocking him. But I think he's been, you know, pretty good overall. He's kind of been as advertised, not quite as many sacks, but that's because, to be honest, we kind of got run on a little bit both weeks. And a lot of short stuff, which you can't get sacks if the quarterback's getting rid of the ball quick. So be good to monitor. And then on offense, oh man.
We took the good ones.
I'm gonna pick probably the tackles, honestly. Because defensively, the way I think we lose this game is Hutchinson wrecks our tackles. And he just creates total disruption. And maybe Dez isn't as good as he was last week at getting away from pressure, because I think Dez did a good job navigating pressure. So if McGarry and Matthews can hold up versus Hutchinson, at that point, I like my odds of the rest of our offensive line against their defensive line. Like, I just like our odds. I have no doubt in the run game we're going to get ours. Like, I just don't think, just formationally, we line up where, like, every single play we can run the ball, and that, you know, forces them to do certain stuff. All of our wide receivers believe in blocking. They like doing it, to be honest. Maybe Pitts doesn't love it, but he's good at it, good enough. So our tackles hold up. I don't see a reason why, you know, our passing game won't be well, do well this game. And then, you know, if they're holding up in pass, but they're probably having a good game on the ground. And if our run game is working and our pass game is working, I don't see a reason why we can't, you know, put up points on anybody. So that's kind of my keys. I think the tackles versus Hutchinson is kind of the big matchup.
Absolutely. And shoot, we can leave Keith Smith in there, like you said earlier. John will bring him in tight. Chip.
Shout out Keith Smith, man. Yeah, hello, Keith.
I rock with him.
Yeah.
With
him.
Man, we've been begging for 30 points, a 30 burger.
You think it's coming?
Man, we technically had it on Sunday. If Art runs on the goal line, who makes his PAT? That's 5 points that we left.
And I wrong.
Five. I mean, what's the over under before?
I was gonna say, you know, it's not 30.
Yeah,
I mean, let's see, you know, they're not expecting us to put up points, they never do.
They're predicting they're giving Lions 55% chance to win the game. They've got the line is at Detroit -3, so basically even,
home field.
And the over-under is 46 points.
46, so I'd probably take the over on that.
Yeah. What's that? 24-21?
Yes.
That's a good score. Yeah,
give me
a cool game winner? A cool six?
No. All right. I'm going to go
30-17. I like that. I hope. Wait. Us, right? Okay. Oh, <yeah.
laughs> after week one, when they beat the Chiefs, I said, "Oh shit, we're probably losing week three." But with the injuries, like, this is not the same team. Like, if no Amala, no David Montgomery, you now have no power game. I don't know how much I trust your passing attack without Amon-Ra. I just, you know, and I think Nielsen is a lot more aggressive, you know, not to take anything away from Spags. Spags held him to 21. But I think Nielsen is probably going to be a little bit more aggressive given the lack of, you know, the injuries that have piled up. And I think, you know, if the Falcons can sustain drives and keep that defense on the field, I think you kind of get a combo of Falcons offense kind of being able to move the ball at will, that defense being on the field too long. I mean, we dominate time of possession when we're rolling. And, you know, if the defense can get some three and out, or, you know, maybe a fumble or something, doubt they get a pick this week. But, you know, get some three and outs and get the defense, the Lions defense on the field longer than they want to be, I think we can sniff 30. So
I'll get mine. I think I'm looking at probably 27-20 Falcons. I'm a homer, so I can never pick against the Falcons. I'm just being honest. Like every week, it's like who are you picking? I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna pick the Falcons. It's different, but if we were playing like Philly or something, I'd be like, all right, Philly's probably gonna win. But we're, if it's like a throw up matchup, I always have to pick the Falcons.
Yeah.
The reason I think 27-20, I think it's hard for this offense to put up a ton of points unless the passing game really opens up. And I think we're going to try to keep it on the ground a little bit because, like, our drives take so long. Like, we just don't have so many offensive possessions to put up, you know, 35, 40 points,
yeah.
You know, barring turnovers. If Goff turns the ball over a couple of times, all right, maybe we are looking at 30-plus points. I think the offense will be efficient. I don't know if they're going to, you know, light up the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. That's not really how we operate. You know, a lot of grind them out stuff. You know, I think Dez will probably throw over 200 yards again, hopefully, and then, you know, our ground game, you know, hopefully we use Dez's legs again as well. And we're looking at, you know, 150 plus rushing yards or something. If we do that, you know, I'm looking at 27 points. I think we can comfortably get to that. And then the Lions, if they had St. Brown, I think that probably flips this matchup.
Yeah.
Or at least makes it, you know, more of me being like, all right, they probably will score, you know, 27 points. And then it's like, all right, who gets the final field goal? But they don't have him. You know, they're missing some defensive players, so I'm with you. I think we have a lot going for us. You know, our luck this year has been great. A lot of players are missing games versus us. I'm not going to complain because, you know, the Falcons are not exactly notorious for good luck. So I'll take what I can get. But, yeah, that's what I got, 27-20
Falcons. 27-20
Falcons.
That's a good score. I'm sticking with my theme. They ain't getting more than 20 points. Going back to it.
We haven't given up. We haven't given up 20 in almost half, what, over half a season now.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, minus this Packers game, I'm going to give them I'm going 17 for the Lions. .28 for the Falcons. We're getting 4 touchdowns.
I like that. Red zone efficiency.
Yes, sir. And clock management.
I like it. I want the 30, man. See, I'm being
the 30 would be nice, man. I will be insufferable if we score 30 plus points.
We gotta play about it. Like if they came healthy, yeah, I'll give it to you. But
yeah,
you know they handicapped.
Yeah.
So that takes away that little 3 points that they want that people want to give them.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I don't. I think if the Falcons score more than 24, I think that's the floor to win the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Lions score more than 24 points because of what's going on with them. But yeah, I like it. I want to stretch free. My birthday's on Friday, so I want to stretch free Sunday. So
yeah, that'd be nice.
If I can book in my birthday with 2 wins, you know, Falcons, just please. I'm not asking for too much. 3-0. When's the last time we've been 3-0?
Jeez.
I should have looked that one up.
Right? That's probably going way back to, like, what, 2012 maybe? Because I don't think even the Super Bowl year we lost the first. No, we started 2-0. We might have dropped the third one. I can't remember. It's been a while. I'll say that.
It's been a long time. Probably 98. I mean, knowing us.
Right?
But
geez.
No, I'm with it. So, all right, over under turnovers.
Mm.
One.
I think
we're gonna set it at 0.5. That'll be fair.
0.5.
Do we get a turnover or not? That's basically it.
On defense or offense?
On defense.
Because you know, well, we don't have Mariota no more, so.
I think we get a turnover.
That's yeah. We scored 28 points.
Yeah, defensive touchdown.
That's how you get to 30.
So I actually do think AJ is due for a pick, man. Like, he's due for one, especially if we're going up against some garbage wide receivers. No offense to the Lion players. I don't know who y'all are. Y'all might be good. But if AJ's out there on a couple of them, like, I think we could see a pick. Because, again, I don't even think it'll be Goff's fault. I think it'll just be, like, AJ's better.
Yeah.
I could see that. Or, like, a tip pass.
Yeah. Or, yeah, fumble or something. You know, a lot of stuff could happen.
Jesse LaPorta. Oops.
Okay.
Make your undercut. You know.
Sacks. 1.5.
Give me 2. Sacks. Give me 2 sacks.
Okay. Who's getting them?
I think you're going to get Ellis. And Ellis is probably going to get one again, because I think they like to blitz him a little bit more than Troy, because that's, you know, what he does very well. And then I think AK. I think we're going to see more AK this week. I think they're ramping him up a little bit. Maybe he was dealing with some sort of injury. I don't know. It also could have been we just weren't playing, like, a lot of passing offense week one. Goff is going to pass the ball a ton. We don't have to worry about contain. Put AK out there on passing downs. Let him rip. So I think Ellis and AK get a sack.
Who's your three,
bro? I'm going Caden Ellis. I'm going Grady.
Grady's good for one. That's a good one.
I'm going Calais.
There we go. I was like, ooh, come on.
Big man.
Give me a big 100.
Big man gets one. Oh, man.
No, I love it. Yeah, I think I'll give it. I'm going three. Yeah, I'm going three. I'm wanting the blitz a lot. Like, I want him to get after Dolph. Like, I think this is the one to, like, let AK loose. Hell, even throw Malone out there. Like,
yeah.
We should be able to get him into some third and longs, some third and 10 type longs. So,
yep.
I want to see it, man. I want to see some sacks. I want to see them have fun on the D-line. Frustrate Detroit. Take the crowd out early, man. I want 30 points, so.
We drop a 30 burger with three sacks, man. I'm gonna be feeling it. I'm gonna be insufferable.
Find me on the timeline. I'm definitely on Sunday, so I might have to uninstall Twitter on my app on Sunday.
I've been wilding after game days on Twitter, man. These first 2 weeks, I think it's because, like, there was so much negativity in the off season about everybody being like, oh man, we suck. You know, Ritter's the worst quarterback in the division. Meanwhile, we got Derek Carr playing Monday Night Football, looking like my fucking grandma throwing the ball.
Right.
Jeez. So, you know, all the negativity got to me, man. So the first 2 weeks, I was pulling receipts from Carolina fans who were talking shit. There were some Packers fans talking shit. Okay. I had to come at them. But I like Detroit. I lived in Michigan for a little bit. So, like, Lions fans, you know, they deserve some joy. So, you know, I'm not going to be too hard on them if we win. I'm just going to celebrate the Falcons. I'm not going to put down the Lions.
Yeah, that's valid. That's valid. So.
But fuck the Packers and Carolina fans are talking too much shit. So they got put down.
Yeah, rock bottom.
No, I love it. Well, Steven, I appreciate it. You are
man.
Always welcome. Welcome back anytime, only after wins. So,
yeah, I can't get on here and talk about loss, man. That's not me. But, yeah, no, man, it's a ton of fun being on. I appreciate y'all getting me on here. I love talking ball. I talk it all the time. Football is, like, my main hobby, man. So anytime I can get on and talk ball with some people who know ball, that's a good night to me.
Cool. All right, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another excellent episode. Steve, thank you, my man.
Appreciate it.
Another excellent episode of King's Landing. Again, follow us on Twitter. Follow Steve at Hera ATL. Jared King at @_TheKing_, and myself, Brian King, at KingHead57 on Twitter or X, if you feel nasty.
It's Twitter. It's Twitter.
All right, y'all.
All right. Peace.
Peace.